Before we jump into today's episode, I want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Mochi Health. Mochi is a telehealth provider that takes a holistic approach to weight loss. You'll visit with board-certified doctors, registered dietitians, and get medication delivered right to your door. If you're ready to shed a few pounds this fall, without the embarrassment, without the blame or emotional games, but with a custom medical-based plan working one-on-one with real doctors, give Mochi a try. Click on over to joinmochi.com. That's Mochi spelled M-O-C-H-I. Round Trip Death listeners get $40 off by using code RTD40. It'll be in the show notes. You're going to love today's guest, so let's get right to it.
From the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody, and a special welcome to our guest today, Alisa Palmer. How are you, Alisa?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Well, we got over our technical difficulties. We're going to be smooth sailing from here on out, I'm sure of it.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, this is going to surprise everybody. I'm going to sort of mix up the way that we're doing this today. We're going to get to some of your background in a minute, but I want to talk very first about kind of the middle of your experience, your near-death experience, which was your life review. Can you tell me a little bit about that first? And
yeah.
Then we'll fill in the blanks after that.
Yeah. The life review is interesting because time doesn't exist there. It kind of happens, what feels like is really fast. And so it kind of just like, I guess like a movie screen or something like that, kind of looked like that. And it just sort of swished by real fast. But as I was feeling it, I could see clearly that what I do affects everything around me. Almost like the only way I could describe it is like if you have a rock and you throw it into the puddle and you watch all the ripples, you know, rippling. So I saw that like we are so much like that, where what we do affects our surroundings, you know, and we feel what other people are feeling. And so that was really profound to me.
So did you feel things both positively and negatively from how your actions affected people?
Yes. In that realm, in that space with the life review, yeah, I did.
Give me an example.
Because it was so long ago, it was like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have the story written down. I wrote it down right away and documented it. I guess what I saw, because I was given a choice to either go or stay, I saw my whole life like flash before my eyes. And I saw that, like, for example, I didn't have kids then. So I saw like I needed to go back because I was going to have kids. I was going to get married. I was going to be unfulfilled if I didn't, you know, stay here. I wouldn't have completed my mission or my task. So I think as far as like specific memories, I have a little bit of trouble remembering that because it was so long ago. But I do know like my whole entire life just flashed before my eyes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go back because these things were like going to happen. So I was responsible and needed to go back and make sure that they happen. So for specifics, I don't have a lot of fine detail.
That's okay. But it sounds like you kind of got a glimpse of the future too while you were at it.
Yeah. And one thing I do have a tendency to wonder is like, I think because I've been studying near-death experiences for a long time. And one thing that I'm suspicious of is like, does this information get released more and more as time goes on to this certain place and point of like when the information is needed, it's going to be released? There's this place in me that thinks that that's something that might occur. It's almost like I went back to an amnesia state and at some point it'll get released again according to the proper time that it fits into.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, let's take a step back. Tell us, who is Alisa? Where do you live? Give us a 1 minute, let's get to know you.
Okay, let's see. I was born in Santa Barbara, California, and I moved from Santa Barbara when I was six. I moved to Atascadero, California, which is the Central Coast. It's between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's a beautiful place. I love it.
I've been there. I've spent time in Morro Bay.
Oh, yeah, you have. Okay, yeah. So it's a really unique area. I love the climate zone. You know, I come from a family of arborists. And so I thought, oh, gosh, I would just love to, you know, grow some plants and get a little piece of property and go crazy there. But I do have family that still lives there, so I get a visit all the time. Right now, I'm residing in Flagstaff, Arizona. Me and my family just decided to be adventurous and go see another state and, you know, be outside of California, just try something different. But I lost my father in November. And so since then, I'm like, oh, I miss my family so bad. So that's kind of what we're doing. And we're going to go back and visit and be with family and stuff like that. So we're kind of back and forth and just enjoying both places.
I just went through Flagstaff a couple of days ago.
Oh,
drove through it, seriously.
Like it?
It's really nice. I mean, it's up at, what, 7,000 something feet elevation, and so
yeah.
It's cool and temperate, and compared to being in Phoenix, as I had been the days before, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, it's neat. It's grown on me. Oh, and I homeschool my kids. I have two kids. I've been homeschooling them for a while. I have four brothers and sisters. We're all really close. And like I said, I lost my father. That was really detrimental. That's actually what got me started to go on Facebook and start liking all the NDE pages and kind of reaching out to people that are sort of having a hard time with the idea of, you know, the other side. And I just decided to go on there and give them some comforting words and anything to encourage them. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing an interview.
That is great. And I think you mentioned you have you've set up a new Facebook page for this kind of stuff too. We'll stick that link in the show notes so people can reach out to you.
That would be great.
Let's go back, 2001. This is when the big accident happened. What was going on then?
So I was with my friend Alex. We had these other friends, a couple of ours that were like, come to Las Vegas with us. And my friend Kim, she set it up and was just really excited. So we went over there, we met up with them, or we tried to go over there. On the way, I was driving the car. Alex had fallen asleep, and it was like 12:10 at night, because when the car hit, it hit my watch, and that's the time it stopped. So anyhow, as I was driving, there was another car that was coming towards me. It was a one-way highway, so it started coming towards me. As it was coming towards me, I tried to veer over to avoid the car, but it was too late. So that car hit mine at an impact of 130. Both cars bounced back. As soon as we bounced back, I was like kind of pinned in the vehicle, and I'm like it was dark, I couldn't see, so I'm putting my arms out kind of like to feel stuff, and I felt all this liquid on me, and I'm like going, what in the world? So I put my arm up and I go to kind of just feel around, and then all of a sudden I could see, because you could see with, I don't know, the moon, or there was some sort of light, and it was my forearm sticking up. So I went and I touched it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I realized what was happening. And I started to scream. And then as I was screaming, there was a guy who knocked on my window. I hear knock, knock, knock. And I was like, the heck? So I was just out of it, obviously. And he says, help's on the way. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, just out of it, not really, you know, seeing what's going on. So then Alex was next to me. He was passed out because he got hit real hard in the head. And then I had the whole engine come in, and it had my legs pinned in the car. And so when help came, they got Alex out. Then they had to come around and get me out with Jaws of Life because I was so pinned in there. So then they got the Jaws of Life, pulled the door off. And then the lady, there was a female, and she said, what's your name? And I was like, she yelled real loud because I think she could see I was kind of like in and out of, like, you know, like losing a lot of blood. So she thought she was going to lose me. So she started yelling, like, what's your name? And I'm like, Alisa. And she's like, you know, how old are you? Started asking me more questions to keep me going. And then I would kind of like, as she was asking me, I would drift off. And as I was drifting, it was like I was above my body. And I just went, I guess like a tunnel. I guess you could describe it like a tunnel. But I know I was above my body. I was in this other room, in this other space. And then when I was there, I felt so good and so great and so wonderful. And I was like, this is like the best feeling ever. This is where my memory is, just because it's been so long, it's not so coordinated, specific. It's kind of all over the place. But I know I had the near-death experience during that time. And I was like begging God, like, please take me home. Please take me home. And then that's when, no, wait, I saw that after I was begging God, he showed me the near-death experience. And then that's when I saw, okay, I can't go home with God, because it was literally like begging him, take me home, take me home. This is my home. I knew it was my home. I recognized it as my home. I had no doubt in my mind. This is where I belong. So God gave me the life review. He showed me that I was not finished, clearly, but I saw it. And because I have free will, I came back, you know, I chose to come back and finish up the mission that we have, because we all have these different missions that we're supposed to do. Or, and God let me know, you know, through all this telepathically, like, I have these gifts, as we all do, and that I need to go back and do whatever it is I'm supposed to do and finish my life. And as far as the specifics on the life review, I wish I had a little bit more detail in my mind, but that's where I think at some point maybe this information will just sort of get unlocked. I'm hoping. I feel like it's sort of, there's locked in there somehow.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that this comes back to little by little. You know, some remember all of their NDE immediately.
Yeah.
One person I talked to recently didn't remember any of it for 3 days, and then all of it came to him.
Yeah, I took 10 days to even remember right after my accident.
Yeah. And then there are some people that it kind of comes little by little, and you're like, I remember that. That's not, that, this isn't just a dream. I remember that specific real kind of thing. So yeah, that's okay. Tell me, I want more detail. How did you know you were having a conversation with God? Did you see a being? Did you feel it? Give me more detail.
I was in the presence of the light. I know that there was light. It was very just bright and beautiful. It was almost like it was alive, I guess, in a sense, like spirit. I guess that's the only way to describe it. But it was definitely a very, very beautiful light, and a familiar light, and a light that I recognized. It was like I knew that when I was in that place, I had made plans with this light, God. You know, for me, that's what I think of it as, is Jesus or God. I know everybody's different, and I have the utmost respect for everybody's beliefs as they feel, because that's just who we are. We get to be different, and God made us that way. So I love that. But it was just an all-entrenching, beautiful light, love, a space that you can't describe. This is a space of like all knowledge, where all the knowledge came back to me. Because like in this room that we're in, we're sort of in this lower level room where we can't get the full capacity of everything. It's like an amnesia state. So when you go there, you get like this download of information, of full knowledge, of full understanding. And then as time goes on, it sort of goes away, but it's still there, and it can still pop up anytime, and it can still come back. And it's like that, or, you know, I was shown that we have gifts, and I have gifts, and I'm supposed to utilize and find these gifts. But I was also shown it's everybody as a whole. We all have these beautiful gifts. So it's not just the near-deathers that have these things. It's the message of that we all have them, and that we're all supposed to find our gifts, and we're all supposed to glorify God in those gifts. At one point I had this, because I was sort of had dreams or different things that would happen. Not psychic, but I guess premonitions, or I don't know. I know everybody sort of has stuff like that, but I had this dream one time and I woke up saying, in my dream, I heard Matthew 5:16. I was like, what in the world is happening? Like, I woke up, I looked in the Bible because I knew it was a verse, and it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So for me now, with where I'm at and all my studying with the near-death stuff and the obsession and trying to figure it out, I could see with the dream, it was almost like confirmation to say, well, we're here to glorify God and in our gifts, to also love the uniqueness about each other, because God created us so unique and so, you know, like that, that we need to love that about each other, you know?
No, that's good. That's okay. So you saw light. Did you see anything else?
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I did, because I had the life review, but sometimes I wonder, like, I know certain people can't go past the veil and stuff, but I feel like somewhere in there, I heard like trumpets ringing and angels and all this stuff. Because when I came back from the experience, I would write about all this stuff and I didn't really know where it was coming from. So I think that when I was on the other side, I think I was shown different things. And I think that there was angels there for sure. I think that there was an information download. I wrote a poem called Home Again, and it's all about trumpets ringing and angels singing and all this stuff. So I think that I was revealed more stuff, but because of the amnesia, I think that it's just not flooding in. But I know.
Yeah. That must be frustrating to know that there's so much more that you just don't remember.
Yeah, it is. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been researching near-death experiences again, and I haven't really looked into them for about 3 years, I'd say. And now that I'm looking into them versus before, it's way different than it ever was. And I've been researching near-death experiences since 2001, since my car accident. And this is different this time around. It's not the same. Because of all the information that everyone is putting out there. And now we can all see we've been to the same place and we're talking about the same thing. And that's powerful for me, because I've been on this study for so long and it's been just part of my life and part of who I am. So to see it in this place where family members are talking about online, they're watching their death experience stuff and they're hearing about it and they're like amazed and in awe, like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. We're at this point where everybody's talking about this and people are like, no, it's real, it's scientifically proven, and that is validating for me. That feels good.
Just your personal opinion, why do you think so many people have such different experiences? Because you just mentioned that everybody goes to the same place.
I think they do. That's kind of the impression. You know, we all sort of talk about this. It's very similar, you know. I feel, yeah. I don't know, with my experience of the ones I've seen, maybe there's a lot more that are very different.
Well, there are. I mean, some people go to a black void. Some people are in light, like you. Some people are in a grassy meadow, or have oceans and a beach. There's all kinds of different things. And it doesn't mean that one isn't right and one is right. In fact, for me, that gives more validity to the whole thing, that everybody would have a little bit different kind of an experience with some commonalities.
Yes. Do you think maybe the reason why is because we're created so unique? Because I think individuality is something that is very, that God created us as these unique individuals to think for ourselves and to have our own opinion based on our personality, that kind of thing. So I kind of wonder if that's why our experiences are different, because we are different as people. We're different.
We are. And I think these experiences are tailor-made for each of us based on our background. You know, if somebody grows up one way and they have an experience that is so out in left field from there, I don't know, maybe they have a hard time processing that versus something very familiar to them.
Yeah.
Or very comforting to them. But this isn't about my opinion. It's about yours. You're the guest today.
But that's kind of, I agree with you. I think that you have a point, and I think that God is so individual with us and with who we are. And I think that's kind of fitting to say, yeah, I think God does it individual per person and what's going to be comfortable and what's going to be okay. And I think we also have different, things that we battle within ourselves. And maybe, you know, there's different places that we have to go to in that spiritual realm to kind of work through this type of stuff. I think that he or she or our creator, I think that our creator makes it unique for us for our learning experience. Because only he knows, only our creator knows what is best for us. And our creator knows us better than anybody else. And, anybody, because he created us. So he's probably going to create these unique scenarios to fit what is going to help us grow, is my thought.
That makes sense to me. And it shows a great respect for individuality of everybody.
Oh, yes. I'm very big on making that a point, because we live in a world right now where everything is kind of working against itself, sort of this chaotic space that we're in. And I think that the only thing that can really combat that is love, unconditional love, where you're like, this person really does care, and I think that's a good way to combat a lot of that, because it's just not working for our society so far.
Speaking of love, you said at the beginning of this experience how good it felt. Wherever you were, how good it felt. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I was trying to describe it the other day, and I wrote it down because I was like, how do you really describe heaven or that realm? Let me grab this book, because I think I might have wrote it down in here. And I was just kind of trying to go through what I thought would describe the heavenly realm. So I just wrote like a list of all the things that would describe it. And okay. So I wrote a list, and that, because I was like, how do I describe that side? Like, I don't even know. I don't think there's actually words to describe heaven, but I'm going to try. So I wrote, the other side is a place of peace, love, joy, bliss, empathy, happiness, laughter, victory, celebration, colorful, musical, bright, adoring, warm, fuzzy, sparkly, connected, love, reunited, home, unified, blessed, wholeness. No words can fully explain the speck of what this means. So there's just no words that can. I think because in this realm, we're not elevated to that level and that degree. This is like a realm where you can experience things in this realm to learn and to grow, but in heaven, only love can exist there. So you can't bring this type of stuff to the heavenly realm. We can only do this type of growth here.
Can I ask about one of the words on your list? And that was a lot. You went fast. But one that stuck out to me as being unusual was the word victory.
Yes.
How did that come to your mind?
Victory is a good word. Because in love, there's victory. In love, it's everything that we could ever dream of. It's a place of where we are, where we're meant to be, where we are. We're meant to be in that space. So that's where the victory is at. The victory of like, we're coming home. We're here. We made it. We graduated. When we come to this earth, it's a huge accomplishment, and it's not easy. And I'm pretty sure God knows that. It is not easy. So when you come home, I believe you have like a graduation. And so in that graduation, in that celebration, in that space, there is a victory because you did it. You accomplished it. You made it. Your victory is in love because God is love. So your victory is to be back with where you came from. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Let's get back to the traffic accident. Tell me how badly you were hurt and what your recovery was like.
Let's see. I had two broken legs, a broken arm. I was hit on the head really hard from impact from, I think, the vehicle and also the, what is it called? The big puffy thing that comes out.
That airbag.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
I like the big puffy thing better. I wish it were a giant marshmallow. That would be better.
I know. It felt like a marshmallow after it hit me really hard.
After it knocked your lights out.
So my forearm, I'm really glad I have a forearm because I almost lost it. It was literally like hanging from skin, you know. Here's so right here.
You're showing me a scar?
Yeah.
This Whoa, cool.
Yeah, and then I have this, it's a tattoo that I got when I was younger. I actually want to redo it, but so I put that there. And then I got, my two legs were broken. And then I was in a wheelchair for a while, but I was just really happy because I was alive. And the car accident was also on Mother's Day. So my poor mom, she was like, it was the best Mother's Day because I heard my daughter alive when, because she heard about it. And then to hear me on the phone alive, she was like, oh, thank goodness, like relief, you know. So as I'm a mom now and I'm going, oh my gosh, that's just traumatic.
Yeah, what did they tell her in the first phone call?
Your daughter was in a car accident and you need to come or something like that. And then
very little information, it sounds like.
Yeah, I just kind of like hurry and come. And then so she came and then she got me and she took me home soon after. You know, I was there for 5 days. I was airlifted when I was hit and everything. And so I was there for 5 days and just kind of recovered in there.
Okay. We're going to wrap up, but I have a feeling you have some great advice for all of us. What have you learned from this that you want to share?
Well, I would say my great advice, and, you know, being in the human form, it's not easy, but that's why we're here, to learn and to grow, because God knew, like, I think he knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he never leaves us. He's inside of us. For me, is like the refreshing thing about being alive is that, like, we're not alone. We never are alone. We feel like we're alone, but when we go home, it's like literally like waking up from a dream. We have amnesia, but there is a true reality and a true home that really exists, and that's our real home, and that we are going to go back to that home, and it's absolutely wonderful and beautiful. This isn't our real home. And so when you're dealing with stress and life and just all the normal, you know, life stuff, just remember that love is our true home. God is our true home, and we will reside in that. And we're just here to learn. I know it's not easy, but we are just here to learn and to love one another. And in every situation, if you can, choose love, because that's the thing that will help us grow, is that love. And that's the things that we're going to take with us, is all that beautiful love. And if you have lost anybody, just know that they're never going to leave us. They're always going to be here for us. They're not gone. They're just resting with God. And I believe that they can visit us because love is eternal. So the eternity of love and the timeless realm, there's something so much more to that. It takes us away from this reality that feels like a prison in a sense, because we can't see, but the real reality is not a prison. It does not feel that way. Everything makes full sense. So we're going to have that clarity and understanding. And that's what I love, is the clarity and the truth. I'd have to say that's what I have to say.
That's great. I hope you don't mind me asking. You mentioned that you lost your father a few months ago. How has this knowledge that you have helped you through that grieving process?
I think just knowing, like, because when my dad passed, I think that God allowed me to see into that other realm when he was passing. And I think that was the gift for me, was like God allowed me to see. I know there was angels there to get my dad, and I know his mom came. I know there was a big celebration. I know that, you know, the Holy Spirit was there. I felt it. And so I think part of my gift was that God allowed me to see where my dad was going, and allowed me to see that he was okay. It allowed me to see just beyond like the veil. It's like I could just, in my spirit, I knew, and I could see it, and I knew where my dad was going. And that was beautiful. I was just, that was the best thing I could ever ask for, is to be able to see into that realm and be like, wow, he's really popular. And he like kicked butt on, you know, smashing these generational curses. Like he did some powerful things here on Earth. And when he went home, he was very celebrated. And that was shown to me.
Literally or figuratively?
I can feel it in my spirit. I can feel it. I don't know. It's very hard to explain, but I just knew.
Well, here's a little something for you to study, and that is shared death experiences. And we will be talking more about them on this podcast in the future.
Okay.
So, but they can be an absolutely beautiful thing. Last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fear of death do you have?
Zero. Zero. None. No fear.
All right. Elisa, thanks so much for being with me today.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.